We've seen that Patmos represents a time so radically removed from our normal round of blessings and activity that we need the peace of the Lord to make sense of it all, to remember that it's not perversity on God's part, but his purposes. And that he loves to speak from the margins to the centre. He's always used islands like Iona, Lindisfarne and Zanzibar to speak to mainland Britain and Africa. And he loves to use seemingly barren and uncomfortable times in our lives to work his deepest work. Much as he allowed Paul to be thrown into one Roman prison after another, just when he most wanted to be out and about on active mission. All the enemy's attempts must have been to induce Paul to lose heart, to wilt away, perhaps fearing that he'd had no chance of influencing people for God from prison. But oh, what God did through the letters that Paul wrote from prison, which today form the backbone of the New Testament. The devil didn't see that coming. And perhaps he hoped that stuck away on a penal colony, John would lose fervour and direction. How wrong could he be? God has special purposes, even in fallow and narrow times. The Latin word for narrow is angustia, from which we get the word anguish. And sometimes when we find ourselves in narrow times, we fear it'll lead to a dead end and a disaster. And the sense of anguish can be very acute. These are the Glencoe times in our life, when we feel hemmed in and all but crushed on all sides, just as Paul wrote of feeling perplexed. Down, but not out. These are the times to pray all the more fervently, or to get others to pray for us if we can't for ourselves, that the Lord will open his way forward. Yes, the prayers of others can reach the parts our own cannot, and we need to learn to round up prayer at those times when we're feeling in the anguish of Patmos. It was a miscarriage of justice that had taken John to the island. And so many believers ever since have suffered, on the face of it, devastating miscarriages of justice. And yet the Lord often does something amazing through and as a result of the process. I can think of a young man I know who's currently in prison abroad for something he emphatically hasn't done, but who is testifying from his cell, where he has to spend 23 hours a day locked up, that it's made him seek God so much more fervently. When God has a purpose in mind, he can be unflinchingly determined, as well as amazingly ingenious in bringing about his purposes. Anyone who reads the Bible with an open heart can't afford to have too mushy or soft a view of God's love. There have been times in our lives when we've known the Lord warning us that there are people lined up, ready to stick knives in our backs. But he still sent us out into those places and assignments. He knows that we were lambs among wolves. But isn't that what Jesus promises to do? I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. And he knew exactly what wolves tend to do to lambs. It's harder when the wolves turn out to be fellow believers. Well, that's a whole other story. But it's worth mentioning in this context just to point out that many people's Patmos experiences actually do stem from such things. And we need grace to allow neither bitterness nor a hardening to set in. What we really need is faith and flexibility when the Lord appears to dump us into a Patmos experience, and to believe that he's still working behind the scenes to bring about the change of emphasis or ministry or some other purpose that's on his heart. Remember, appearances can be seriously misleading. Now, in terms of childbirth, the transition time between labour and birth can often feel really relentless. Usually, mercifully, it's not very long. But it's often the time when women cry out, "I want to stop and go home!" Patmos times, likewise, can be intense times of transition, and they can last a very great deal longer than they do on the labour ward. And whilst there's often a time to push, that is, to pray until something happens, there are other occasions when the only thing we can do is to set our wills and endure until the release comes. Just as Christians had to do in places like Sardis and Smyrna, where intense persecution was raging against them. And so many places like it today. Pray for the Christians of Pakistan, North Korea, China, Iran, the Stan countries of the former USSR, and so many more, that the Lord will give them and you all they need to endure, the grace not to throw away their confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. And the prize that awaits them at the end of their days will owe a very great deal to the fact that they were willing to persevere. We'll be seeing when we turn to the letters, the churches of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, that the Greek word for to endure, hyponome, is one of the really great New Testament words. It speaks not just of passively bearing difficult things, but of a spirit which conquers and turns them into something positive. Rather like George Mattison when he lost his sight and was disappointed in love, but refused to give in, and who prayed that he might accept God's will not with dumb resignation, but with holy joy, not only with the absence of murmur, but with a song of praise. Don't forget, the will of God isn't a thing or a theory, it's the person of the Lord himself, the Lord who gives us the grace to respond. Think of people you know or have read about who bear the seemingly unbearable, not only with fortitude, but even for the most part, with joy. What a testimony that is to grace. And then think of the narrow or seemingly fallow times that God has allowed in your life, which have caused you to cry out more vigorously, and which in the long term have proven to be his way of opening up new doors. Only the Lord knows what lies beyond the Patmos period. And just as Moses endured 40 years of counting sheep in the wilderness, a decidedly woolly Patmos period, so God was preparing him to shepherd his people Israel at a crucial time in the nation's history. We never know what God has in store beyond the Patmos period. May the Lord quiet us with his love and keep our hearts in peace during the insecure transition times through the Patmos wilderness. And may he help us to take down the powerful two-edged sword that we all too often leave hanging on the wall. It's not meant to be an ornament. It's an integral part of our spiritual armour. So may we take up the trumpet call in Scripture to praise the Lord, no matter how oppressive the circumstances that are looming over us. May the praise of God be in our mouths and a two-edged sword in our hands, because praise affirms that God knows what he's doing and it releases him to move into action. That's the double-edged effect of praise. And how much better to pray, "Lord, thank you that you know exactly what you're doing and you're going to move as we give it to you now.